Turn with me, please, to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Over the last several weeks, as David has already alluded to, we have been studying some of the people and some of the events around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We started off with Joseph and Zechariah. We talked about Mary and Elizabeth. We had a cantata about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at some of the witnesses that were there at the time, basically, of the birth in the young years of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I originally agreed to speak on this portion, we said we would talk about Simeon and Anna. And believe me, there's much that can be said about that. In fact, our brother Rocky, who's not here, left me about an 8 to 12 page dissertation all about the prayer of Simeon. So I'm not going to go through all the details of these people or even all the details of Simeon or of Simeon and Anna. I'm more foolish. I started looking at the praise, the part that we had before us, and started thinking about the witnesses, and I started adding. Now that, as I told David, that's really foolish. Because not only is there Simeon and Anna, there are the shepherds, there are the wise men, and yes, there's even quite a bit that we could garner about Herod, who was in fact the offspring of Esau. And so there's things that we could go into in all of those things and talk about them with respect to the coming of the Lord. I'm going to try to emphasize, first of all, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna. And they're found in Luke chapter 2, where the Lord is portrayed as the Son of Man, who was born, as we've already heard many times, as a babe. Yet he was a man, yet he was God, in Luke chapter 2. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the wise men or the king that came and the role very little bit of Herod. And if I don't get all these done, I'm telling you now so that you can go home and fill in the blanks, okay, and study the more. Interestingly enough, the ones that portrayed in Luke were the shepherd, a very lowly people. Simeon, an ordinary man, although he was a man of God. And Anna, who was a very aged lady. The ones that are talked about in Matthew chapter 2 are the wise men, or some would say the kings, and Herod. And there, the Lord in Matthew is portrayed as a king. And so it's interesting how these witnesses to the birth of the Lord Jesus are separated out according to the behavior of the gospel in which they are introduced. There is much that can be said about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, and we've talked about that. But the thing that has probably struck me the most this year, more than maybe previous years, is that he came as a man, we all know that, but as a babe. Think of the God of all eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We studied that already. And think of that, coming in the form of a babe, being in the womb, being in the measure, being a small child, being an adolescent child at the best, before he became a full man and went into his ministry. These ones that came to witness him that we're going to talk about today saw him as a babe. They knew him as a babe. And I'm sorry, but to my finite little mind, that's almost inconceivable that God was ever in that form. But the Word of God explains very clearly and gives us witnesses to prove it, that he was, in fact, as a babe. Okay, the first one, in Luke chapter 2, and reading at verse 8, "And it came to pass in those days, there went out from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This sentence first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria." Then I want to go down to the verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, giving watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. And the Lord said, and the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which is to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was that when the angels had gone away, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us.'" Shepherds are humble people. Shepherds are and were in that time some of the lower forms of occupation and existence in the world round about them. They were humble men. And to be sitting in a field, maybe meditating or maybe thinking or maybe daydreaming or whatever, they saw this humongous sight. Angels, heavenly hosts, lights, glory to God. And they must have thought, "Whoa, what in this world is coming? What is this that we're beholding?" Maybe they looked at each other and said, "Did you see that? I'm not sure I saw it right." But they were exposed to a sight that they probably could not have imagined just moments before. Humble people, simple people, yet seeing the exposure and the signs and all of this that are brought before him, for them, concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming from Godhead's glory to this earth as a man. And the angel sang and proclaimed to them who it was that they were going to see. "He is a Savior. We read that his name should be called Jesus, for he should save his people from their sin. Then he is the Christ, the anointed of God. And finally, the angel said, the Lord, God manifest in the flesh. Now, if you were sitting in a field, daydreaming, and all of this hit you, and you heard this proclaimed, you'd probably think, I better go home and shower. I probably better get some real clothes on. And I mean, if somebody with this kind of authority is coming, or I'm supposed to see him, I better go get myself ready. But the angel made it very clear to these people who it was they were going to see. And he put it in the right order. A Savior, Christ, the Lord. So they had undoubtedly had great expectations about what they were going to see and behold and where they were going. But then the angel goes on to say, now here's what some signs, here's some things that you should look for. Not a man coming in a fancy chariot, waved by fans of feathers, riding on white horses and all the people around him. Not some fantastic scene that would make a good movie in the theaters today. You're going to go looking for a baby. A baby? Savior, Christ, the Lord, a baby? And that he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth will bind him so that he can't move. A man of this power, of this ability, of what he's going to do is a baby, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he'll be laying in a manger. You mean he don't have the best suite in the hotel? No, he's going to be laying in a manger. That had to just be contrary, first of all, to all the thoughts that were conjured up as they saw this exposure of the angels, as they saw what was coming. A lowly manger? But then these people leave, these angels in the scene, and they leave. And these shepherds must have thought, oh, that was just a bad dream. I don't know what I ate last night, but I shouldn't have. Is that really what I'm going to go see? Well, the shepherds decided that they best obey. That the best thing they could do, the smartest thing they could do, would be to leave and go see. I mean, all of these things that have been said are contrary one to another. I've got to go see this. I've got to go see what's going on. And so the shepherds obey, we read, and they hurried off to Jerusalem, or to Bethlehem. But then in verse 20, we read, well, let's go back a little before that. Let's go back to, now when, verse 17, verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Well, they found what they were told to look for. And Luke, in his own inimitable way, had put these things in the right order, even as he reported them in his gospel. They found Mary before Joseph. I mean, to the word Joseph appears after Mary. And the babe lying in a manger. He was to be true to the form that God had sent him to be, not only in the likeness of man, but with the form and the characteristics and all of those things. And he was to start as a babe, humble, quiet, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that's what they found. That's the first witnesses aside from the royal family, aside from all the angels and the heavenly scenes, these are the first witnesses we have in God's word concerning the fact that he was a babe. He was a humble babe. And they are a witness to you and to me that in spite of what they might have thought, in spite of what you might have guessed, they found him as a babe. And then it says, and when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. All these things, and all those who heard it, marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. You see, they not only went there and witnessed it, but they went out and they told their friends. Maybe they told their boss. Maybe they told their neighbors. Maybe they told others that they saw in the street as they walked along. And they testified to what they had seen and told them concerning this babe that was born. And then we read a verse that I think is very significant and was talked about when our brother talked to us about Mary and Elizabeth. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, she too was in a learning process. Not only were these shepherds seeing things they couldn't explain and were contrary to what they might have expected, were contrary to what they had heard, she too pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What they saw was a picture that they hadn't really put together yet until they saw the Lord in the manger. But then they had to testify that it was just the way that it was told. All these things that we've talked about, all these things that seem to be contrary to each other, leave alone to the idea of Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. All of these things were just the way they had been told they were. And so they were a witness to the detail to which God goes to show man what his plan of salvation is. When we read in Philippians chapter 2 that he was made in the likeness and the form of man, that don't mean he started out at 32 or 30. That means he started out as a babe. And that don't mean he had a nice crib and all these nice new gadgets and a bottle warmer and a feeder and automatic diaper changer. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was a manger. It was a scene of poverty. God meant it when he said, I'm going to send my son as a man. Okay, that's the first of our witnesses that we have. The second is in verse 25, same chapter. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. I don't know how old Simeon is. It doesn't take time to tell us. It does tell us about Anna a little later. But this man was mature, and this man had studied, and this man had looked into the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit had dealt with him as he looked into the Word of God and taught him and shown him verses like in the Psalms, Psalm 25, telling him of how that there was one that was going to come, but that there would be some that would witness him before their death. And he was promised by the Lord that he would see Christ as a man before he would depart from this world. Now, I'm sure that just like the shepherds, that conjured up in his mind certain things that he would see. And he had studied the word, I'm sure, throughout the Old Testament to read about the coming Messiah so that he could get an image. And I have no idea, and I don't want to let my holy imagination get carried away too far here. But here was one who was serious, and he knew that he was going to see the Messiah. He was going to see God's Son, born as a man, before he would die, as promised that he would see. And so it was that he was a devout man and a just man. He was one that was honest. He was one that was, I'm sure, well read in the scripture. He was one that was seeking to obey God and do the best he could. And he was no doubt one that was well familiar with the scene in the temple and the scene amongst the rulers and leaders, religious leaders of this world. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Perhaps he thought he would see one that was older. So he came by the Spirit. Now you may have a version that reads a little differently than this. You may have a version that reads, and it so happened. It didn't just so happen. This was God's plan. The Spirit was upon him. The Spirit was working with him. And he didn't just by accident happen to be in the temple when they brought the Lord Jesus in to circumcise him, to fulfill the religious rites that he should be privy to. But he was there because God wanted him there, because God had promised him that he would see this one. And so he had him at the right place at the right time. And he was moved by the Spirit to be there. And it had been revealed, let us see. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child. This isn't a manger scene. This is 8 days old, but it isn't. He's now been born and well documented. Brought the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of the peoples, and a light bringing revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So Simeon recognized immediately because the Spirit told him, this is it. This is the one. Don't know what your expectations were. Don't know what you thought you would see when you saw the Savior of the world. But this is it. That's him. That's the one I want you to go. And he recognized it immediately. And he took him in his arms. And he gave thanks and he blessed God. And he even went so far as to say, okay, you said when I had seen it, then I would die. I'm ready. This is all I need. I don't need to wait till he dies on Calvary's cross. I don't need to wait till I see him administering great teachings to the people. When I see this little child, I know that this is the one that you had promised me that you'd allow me to see. And so he saw him. My eyes have seen your salvation. There's faith. There's the Spirit of God working. There's a babe. And those around him and the religious leaders are hearing them say, that babe is your salvation. That babe is the one that I have promised you. I don't care what you thought the Messiah might come in the form of. I don't care what you thought he might be. That babe is your salvation. And so then he went on not only to say and be a testimony and a witness to the fact that the birth of this one in Bethlehem was Jesus Christ the Lord, but he went on to prophesy and to tell others so that they would explain what he meant by that. He is going to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Who was the first one that preached that the Gentiles could be saved? Didn't Peter and Paul get into an argument about whether they should take the gospel out to the Gentiles? Wait a minute. Here's Simeon. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ as a babe, barely out of the manger. And he's prophesying. This is the one. It's going to bring the Gentiles into the family of God. And glory of your people, Israel. He'd already talked about the first advent and what it meant to have the Lord Jesus Christ come at this time. Now, in this phrase, he's talking about the second advent, I believe. To shine glory on your people, Israel. And I believe that's prophesying the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've already mentioned it. Verse 33, I didn't read it. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things whereof he was spoken. Luke, once again, gets the proper order. Keeps the proper identity. Make sure that you understand that this was a virgin birth. He mentions Joseph, but he mentions Mary as his mother. And so it is that he proclaims again the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, the child is destined for the fall and the rising up of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce them through your own soul. That's Mary. She was going to suffer because of Christ, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon knew what he was looking at. Simeon prophesied things that perhaps were contrary to a lot of the religious leaders of that time. But he told them about Christ. He told them and prophesied. He told them that the child would cause division between the people. He told them that Israel would reject him. He told them that Mary's heart would be broken as she stood at Calvary's cross and watched the Lord suffer, bleed, and die. So he prophesied many things, and you can look into this portion even more plainly and clearly at your leisure. I'm already starting to run out of that time. But the point is, Simeon was a powerful witness to who our Lord Jesus Christ really was, even while he was just 8 days old. Then there's Anna. We all know about Anna. She was also the faithful remnant of Israel. She was also awaiting the Messiah. And she was true to God and had witnessed and talked amongst the people and told them some of the things that they were going to learn. And she served, no doubt, as a mouthpiece for God. But she was almost 100 years old. I mean, you do the math. I don't have to. She was an older lady. And she was being used by God. And she too saw the Christ child and knew that it was the fulfillment of what God had promised and what God had told. And I don't have time to go into it now, but look at some of the things that Anna, they say about Anna. Her attendance at the temple. She was worshiping. She was fasting or obedient to the word and the time. She was supplicating. She gave forth prayers for others. She spoke to others concerning the Messiah. And she gave thanks to God. She's a great model, role model for all of us, albeit a lady of nearly 100 years old. And I think of some of the people that have been in our meeting, and I couldn't help but think of some individuals who have done all of these things. And you'll excuse me, but I'm not sure I live up to it. And I leave it to you to wonder, are you able to do all these things in obedience and worship and fasting and supplications for others, etc., etc.? Anna was quite a witness. She's given a very small portion of the Word of God, and we're told that she was very elderly, but she was still doing what God wanted her to do in her life. Okay, I've got to hurry on, or else you're going to be here all afternoon. And some people up here in the front row are real nervous about that. Then there's the Magi. Let's turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, and verse 1. Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King where is he? These wise men came and they went to Herod. Now, first of all, there's something to be said about the wise men. They were wise. Some people say they were kings. They were well known. They were well read. They understood the word of God. And they asked Herod and his priests and all the people that followed him, where is this one that's born in your territory? They were coming to see. We're following. We're trying to see him. And they didn't know. And they had no idea. The best they could come up with is, well, the one guy says to some of the others, I sort of remember he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Well, there was two Bethlehems at that point. So that didn't even really identify it. But nevertheless, these wise men came. Now, if you read that in verse 1, it looks like they came to Bethlehem early in his life, in 1 and 2. If you look down in verse 11, I think it is, my notes are right. And when they had come into the house, the Lord was no longer in the manger. The Lord was somewhat older. Some people have said he was 2 years old. Some people have said he was as much as 8 years old. I don't know. But the wise men came, and they followed a star. And that star had been foretold in a number of scriptures. I have the references if you'd like to look at those later. And the star disappeared while they were with Herod and his wise men. And everybody's looking at their Bible saying, I don't see that. Where does it say that? I don't see that the star disappeared. Well, look down in verse 9. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till they came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I think while they were with Herod, the star didn't shine. And I think it didn't shine because God was protecting his son. But when they left Herod, they were led by the star. The star reappeared, and the star led them to where the child lay. And they were quite glad to see that star come back, because Herod hadn't satisfied them. He didn't know where they lived. He didn't know where the babe was or the child was. And so the star reappeared, and it took them to where he was. And they, with exceeding great joy, followed and saw the mother, the young child, and Mary, his mother. And they worshiped him. And they presented him gifts. And you've all heard of the gifts, and perhaps you've done them in some play or some other thing. The gold, the symbol of deity. The frankincense, the sweet perfume, which would talk about the sinless perfection of our Lord. And the myrrh, a bitter herb, which would prophesy his coming death and what he would bear on Calvary's cross. You see, the Spirit of God worked with these men. These men weren't from the local country. They weren't locals. They were from a far country, from the east. But they had been studying and they had been looking. And when they saw that star first appear, they began to realize, this is what we've been reading about. This is what we've been studying. And they wanted to go see him. So in verse 11, we read that they saw Mary, and the young child, and Mary. They were witnesses to God. Witnesses that came from afar off. Witnesses who asked questions of the locals that they couldn't answer. Witnesses who knew that God's word was true, and this must be what they had come to see. And so it is. In verse 12, they were warned by the Spirit not to return to Herod. Herod would put out a decree. This is another thing that tells us a little about the age that the Lord Jesus Christ may have been when the wise men came to see him. Because Herod said, any child that's younger, 2 years and younger, I want him destroyed. The Spirit of God spoke to these men. The Spirit of God took them to the site where the Lord Jesus was. The Spirit of God took them there to the house, even though it was several months or maybe years after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he warned them not to return to Herod. He took them another way. The Spirit of God wants us to follow him. The Spirit of God wants us to understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Savior of mankind that God had promised. And he gave us all these witnesses, the lowly shepherds, Simeon, Anna, the wise men, and I believe even Herod, as witnesses to the fact that a Savior is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. Shall we look to him for a moment of prayer? Father, we do come before thee, and we thank you for all the details. We thank you for the many reports. We thank you for the variation of the kind of witnesses that you use to tell us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he came to accomplish. And you verified these witnesses by their prophecies by the words that they had read in the Old Testament and explaining explicitly where they were to find him and how they were to see him. And even though it may have been contrary to those witnesses at the time, details set forth by thy Spirit, details set forth by thy plan, details set forth in thy word were to be fulfilled. And we can admire and praise a God who for all eternity prepared a way of salvation for us. Oh, may there not be anyone in our meeting this morning who would ignore the details that God has given them concerning a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.